Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ and seekers of the truth, this is the 362nd edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria, and the title of today's message is simply Liberty by Grace. We're going to focus on a very powerful passage out of Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 19. Now I'm going to ask you something, folks. Are you ready for some liberated living? Well, if you are, I'm just saying stay tuned. Because this topic, in part 4 of our Grace series, will help you achieve liberated living. Liberty in Grace, as I called this title. So I'm telling you, if you're tired of being a slave to your flesh, this world, and the prince of this world, the devil, then I've got some good news for you, because the Bible says that we can be liberated and literally set free now. Not later, on the other shore of eternity, but right now. Now, before you say, okay, bro, Ken, I've heard all this before, keep an open mind, please. And in addition to that open mind, how about opening your Bibles we prepare today to learn some of the greatest, I mean the greatest basic fundamental truths of Christian life. And praise the Lord, they're all found right here in the Word of God. You know, the Word of God is God, because the Bible says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when we are in this Word, were literally with God. And I can sum it all up in two sentences. Okay? It's all about the passion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his death, known as the substitutionary death. He gave himself, gave all of himself for us, and that's our redemption. So that's it right there. That's the key. Now, we've got to learn our purpose as related to the passion of Jesus Christ and how the one who gave himself for us also gave himself to us. Now, there's a big difference between giving oneself for another and giving oneself to another. And Jesus did both. Now, if we don't understand that, we cannot begin to understand the full meaning of the passion of the cross. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now, you know, over these last couple weeks, folks, I've been saying this whole message on grace is by no means a license to sin, because that's a ditch on the one side of the road. So you've got three courses you can take. On one side of the road, you've got liberty. I mean, you've got license. License to sin, as some people say. That's greasy grace. On the other side, you've got the law. Okay, and everybody's telling you, do this, don't do that. Do this, don't do that. And in the middle, on the highway of holiness, the straight and narrow way, you have liberty. And that's what I'm talking about. So Paul's been talking about God's amazing grace. It's wonderful. It's dynamic. You know, it's so much. It's the quintessential element to our salvation. You know, grace is greater than all of our sin. So if we live the Christian life, I'm telling you, it's only because we've received the grace of God, okay? Which are God's grace is at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. So just be warned here, folks. Because if you come strutting before God like a prince, thinking that you've done him some wild favor, okay, by whatever it is you think you've done here on earth, you're going to go away a beggar. I'm telling you, that is the truth, folks. But if you come to Jesus as a beggar, and you say something to the effect that in my hand, no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. If you say something like that, and you don't have to say it like that, that's from some old song or poem, you're going to go away a prince. I promise you that. So put bluntly, if you're going to be saved, or if you are saved, it's entirely by his amazing dynamic grace. It's nothing, absolutely nothing that you've done or anything that you've stopped doing. I mean that, folks. Okay, so if that's true, which it is, then Paul's saying here in Romans 6:1 something that raises a question, okay? What's this all about? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Okay, what's that all about? Well, simply that we're saved by grace and there's nothing we can do to save ourselves. In fact, God doesn't expect you or me to do anything. Jesus Christ did it all. But be careful here. Be careful what it all means, okay? As in, Christ did it all. Let me say it again. It all is not an excuse for living in sin or living in defeat. But not only is the grace of God an enabler in our life of holy living, okay? His grace also supplies us that power to live the holy life. You know, the Bible says in Romans 6:1, I'm going to repeat it again. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, what can we say that God has for us? Okay? What's his plan for us? Okay? Well, his plan for us is victory. And I'm telling you, that victory needs to be constant. We need to be conscious of it. And it needs to be a conspicuous victory. Okay? So it should be going on all the time. We should be aware of it and others should see it. So are you living day by day in this constant victory? Are you? Is it conspicuous? Can others see it? And is it a conscious victory? Do you know that you're living that way by the grace of God? Now, God's planted three key words in Romans chapter 6. And I believe that if we burn them into our hearts, okay, we'll never, ever again look at Romans chapter 6 the same way. And anytime we think about Romans chapter 6, we're going to immediately think about these three words. So I want you to learn these three words, folks. I pray, Holy Spirit, to learn these three words. Help us to burn them into our hearts and etch them into our minds, okay? And understand the importance of these three words. And just let these three words come into your hearts and minds and understand what's involved with them, what they mean. And if you do, I guarantee you that you're going to live a life of victory. Now, that first word is no. And it's found in Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Just remember, Romans 6, 6. Romans 6:11 and Romans 6:13. So the first word is know. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now that means we shouldn't be slaves to sin. And that second word that we need to just walk away from this message with is reckon. Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now that first word, know, and that second word is reckon, and the third word is yield. In verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of righteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members, as members of your body, you know, like your eyes, your ears, your feet, your hands, as instruments of righteousness unto God. You know, I talked a little bit about this at Sozo's last night out of Ephesians chapter 2, I think it's about verse 15, where he said that two became one. People say, well, that's the Gentiles in Israel. We all became one in the church. Well, it could be interpreted as that. But I also mean, I think it means to say that our flesh can then become harmonized with our spirit and the two become one. Because he says right here that your members become instruments of righteousness unto God. Now, there are three words, okay? No, reckon, and yield. And they deal with what we can call fact, faith, and function. You know, there's a fact to know, there's a reckoning to put your faith in, and then there's a function as we yield. So we just have to remember that, okay? Now, I was teaching the Bible for quite a few years in my former church before these truths just exploded in my life. Now, I loved God, but I still didn't know how to live a life of victory. So I hope you pay attention to this message. I hope you integrate these into your walk with Jesus. So what I want to do is just break this message down into these three major categories under the headings of know, reckon, and yield. So if you're taking notes, those are going to be our three areas: knowing, reckoning, and yielding. And I'm going to explain what this means as we go through it. So first of all, there's something we got to know. We got to know our identification with Jesus, okay? Our identity in Jesus, who gave himself for us and to us. That's our identification. That's our identity in Christ. Key word here is identity. Our Christian identity. So listen to the beginning of verse 6 again. Knowing this, okay, that our old man is crucified with him. So this is what we need to know, that our old man is crucified with Jesus. Did you get that? We're crucified with Jesus. That means that when Jesus died, I died with him. When Jesus died, you died with him. That is, if you believe. So our old man is crucified. You know, the old Adamic flesh is crucified with him. The body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So we're no longer slaves to sin, like that song from Lauren Daigle goes. No longer a slave to sin. You know the one I'm talking about? Good song. Okay? And I love that. I love that song. I really, truly do. So anyways, I kind of got distracted there. But listen to what the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. So anyways, I just got a message from Blog Talk about 90 seconds. I have no idea what that means. None whatsoever. It's telling me that I have 90 seconds left in this show stream. Wow. That's not good. Yeah, I have a countdown here that I'm going to be going off the air in 1 minute now. I have no idea how that happened. Absolutely no idea. Yeah, I'm going to be going off the air here, folks, right in the middle of this message. Thank you, Blog Talk Radio. Well, you're going to lose me here, so I'm going to have to try to redo this message. I apologize, folks. I was really excited about this, but I'm going to be going off the air here.